Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is MJ, and you're listening to the one and only MTG in Quarantine podcast. Before I begin today's episode, I'd like to give a quick shout out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine. It's a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bence, Anomaly, Nick S, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy, MTG Casuals, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine for more information. And if you are interested in picking up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat, you can go over to Inked Game, that's inkedgaming.com. Got two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look killer. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends. So definitely go on over to Inked Gaming. That's inkedgaming.com. Search MTG in Quarantine. I will release the link to that in the episode description here so you can go check that out. All purchases help support the channel. All right. So we are back with another episode of Noah Brewer, where I bring awesome people from the Magic community on to talk about their unique EDH deck building style. Obviously, everyone's a little bit different, and you've probably, if you've been listening to these episodes long enough, you're probably sick of having me talk about how I build my decks. So that's why I bring other people on to talk about how they build. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's contestant, today's guest, whatever you want to call it, Allie Golem. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. So yeah, I mean it's gonna be a really simple episode here, honestly. Just gonna go through a couple basic questions based on your building process, right? Because when we all build an EDH deck, it has to start somewhere, right? So this is kind of the recipe book, I suppose, for how you go from, 0 to 60, where you go from that first card all the way up to 100 serviceable cards that then you play for the first time. So yeah, just really simple, really easy, and we're just gonna have a good conversation. So, first question here for you today is, are you the kind of person who builds around a legendary commander that you see coming out, a legendary creature or planeswalker coming out? You say, hey, I really want to build around that. Or are you the kind of person who kind of builds more of a strategy or a theme in the 99 and then tries to find a commander to fit that?
Yes to both, but also not. I get inspired by new commanders a lot, but I'm also a really, as a player, I always forget to cast my commander. And so knowing that, I want the 99 to play without the commander, kind of, but the commander helps.
Sure. So kind of complementary instead of being absolutely necessary.
Exactly, yeah. It makes things better, but if it doesn't get out there, it doesn't necessarily, like, I can't. I don't want to be able to play without my commander.
Yeah,
Or
but
the other, the opposite of that.
yeah, but I mean, obviously, if your commander gets destroyed, gets removed, you have a Draenor Magistrate for some reason on the board. Again, this is casual Magic, but again, it's still out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you still are able to play the game without feeling like, oh, I just got locked out of this game because my 99 can still do the synergistic thing, rather than, oh, now I have to pay 12 extra mana for Nigella, let's say, and now I'm kind of screwed, which actually did happen in a CDH game I played not too long ago. So yeah, that was interesting. But again, that's the reason why I bring that up is, it really depends on the deck, right? Is that some you're going to have the commander, some you're going to have the 99. Is there any, it does just kind of depend on the commander, or are there just some themes that you really want to hit, and then you try to find something that works?
I'm sorry, I missed the beginning of the question. My dog rolled over the mute button on my
Oh,
microphone.
yeah, that's totally cool. So yeah, the question again is, I guess, how often, give us like a percentage split, how often are you building around the commander because of what's written on the commander, the text box? Or how often are you building around that theme you really like and you're just kind of trying to find a commander?
More often than not, probably I'd say like 65, 70%, it's at least inspired by the commander.
Okay.
Generally, if I'm, there are a few themes that I keep trying to come back to and get right, and those are more the ones where I'm like trying to find the commander.
Okay, and just out of curiosity, before we get to the next piece here, what are some of your favorite themes that you're either have built around or you are thinking of building around, but just haven't really found that right brew?
I haven't gotten a Kiln Fiend deck that I like. Kiln Fiend is a common from Rise of the Eldrazi. It's a 1/2 for one and a red. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, it gets +3/+0 until end of turn.
Mm-hmm.
So just a bunch of creatures that get those buffs when you cast the instant or sorceries, and then a bunch of cheap cantrips, cheap spells, and go one big swing, two big swings kind of deck.
Yeah, you kind of go ham. Yeah, I actually really enjoy those kinds of cards too. It's like the commons, uncommons, they just get ridiculous stat boosts for just playing mundane spells, and you kind of don't look at them. I'm trying to remember, there was the Gremlins cards from Kaladesh block that I really like. Haven't found a place to jam that yet, but I think it gets like +3 or +2 every time I play an artifact and has trample. So it seems like that kind of card, right? You know, just play a bunch of random other things and it just gets incidentally buffed 10, 12, you know, with trample, just ridiculous stat things. I gotcha.
Yep. No, I searched Gremlin types. I don't actually see that one, but something similar. There's a couple like that. Yeah.
I just wish I remember what the name of the card is. If I was digging through my long box, I would find it. No problem. It's in there somewhere. I just don't know what's happened to it. Oh, but
no worries. Yep.
Anyway, yeah. So, okay. So you've come up with the theme. You've come up with the commander. You've come up with the synergy. Walk us through what happens next. You know, how do you start figuring out exactly what you want to play? Do you have a... Obviously, some of the people I brought on here do have a system. Again, shout out to Coach Jero for having his bucket system where he has a definitive number of, you know, different card types, different card jobs, etc. Or you can look more into the way I do things where I just kind of throw a bunch of cards in there and then after a while start kind of parceling out the role for each card. So exactly how do you, you know, go from that first idea to, you know, through the deck building process?
It depends on if it's a deck I intend to play like right away. Like there's a lot of Friday afternoons where I'm just trying to get, let's, you know, build this commander for tonight kind of thing. In which case there's less, searching for specific cards and more grabbing stuff from my table and, you know, what's within arm's reach and make a pile. If I'm brewing and then trying to assemble the deck, then it's, Scryfall and Moxfield, and searching for what's going to fit the theme, depending on what theme that is. And it generally all end up with a list of like 150, 200 cards before lands, and then start cutting the stuff that was like, okay, maybe not.
Yeah, that's always one of the most difficult processes is trying to get down from, do that initial cut, right? It's like NFL training camp, which I know you're also into. So again, at least this reference is not lost. Just kind of like, you know, going into NFL training camp with 90 players, I think it's still 90 players, and then having to make that initial cut down to 75. It's like, that's us EDH players going from like 150 to 200 cards to like 120 or so. And then we got to make those really, really bone rattling, bone crushing cuts at the very end of the, to get down to the final roster, right? Okay.
Do I keep the good card? Do I keep the pet card? Do I?
Yeah. That's kind of the plight of all of us as EDH players, I think. Yeah. I think even the professionals have a harder time at it than they make it sound on the Twitters anyway, is that they still have their pet cards too. So, yeah. Cool. So
and different things are fun for different players too. Like,
sure.
So not everybody's going to cut. Keep the same pet cards, have the same ideas there.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we've kind of gone through the whole process there. Going on basically to the third question is, and I really the final question here is, so you've got to the end of the building process. You're going to play, and I'm not really sure where I'm going with this. So this happens on my podcast. But really, what I guess I'm trying to ask are, you've played a couple of games, and you know, what are you looking for in that playtesting? And you know, are you more likely to try to cut some of the pet cards if they're not doing well, or are you the kind of person who's going to kind of just leave the deck alone, even if there are a few things that you maybe don't like, or maybe conversely, you really like how the deck's doing. Are you the person who's going to make some changes after a couple of games, or are you just going to kind of give it a while and see what happens?
I will definitely plan on coming back to things and making changes. Whether that actually happens, a bit of a toss-up. I know my Jettmir deck has been sitting aside, not getting played because I need to make changes, but I haven't actually come back to it yet. But I also take a lot of decks apart because I just use those cards to build other stuff. I'll go through a lot and like, oh, this didn't hit right, or I didn't enjoy it, and let's try something else.
Yeah, so you're kind of quick to change things if it's just not working out, and then you'll throw those pieces in something else.
Oh yeah.
Nice, nice.
A lot of decks might get like one or two plays, and then that might be it if it isn't hitting right, because there's so much to build that I've brewed. I probably brew an EDH deck at least like every other day, just out of ideas and things.
Definitely, definitely. It's one hell of a drug, as they say. Building
Yeah.
EDH decks, brewing EDH decks. I've been known to dabble in brewing EDH once in a while, kind of build my whole online personality around it, but
I've made an EDH deck from time to time.
we're not here to discuss notoriety
Right.
like that.
What's the Norman Osborn? I'm something of a brewer myself.
Yeah, exactly. I just hope I don't go through the obligatory villain phase after that. Anyway.
I think the villain phase is just stacks. Not that I
Yeah.
don't love stacks, but
Maybe. I mean,
you want to play something the table likes to play with too, though.
yeah,
I
that's
agree.
definitely part of the brand. And Stacks is also just really hard to find a way to make it work for the whole table too. It's like I want to win, but I also just want to, have that memorable experience. So it's playing stacks at a more casual table. I've always found to be quite difficult because you just have to try to find that right niche, and I've just never found it.
Yeah, I haven't actually built a stacks deck yet, but I love the idea of it and I want to do something with it. I haven't figured out exactly. I don't know.
I once, and again, I know this is going a little bit off the episode, but
No.
I, off the rails here, is I did build Mono White Turbo Fog once, and it's about as miserable to play as it sounds. And I tore that deck apart.
That's fair. I took about a 4-year break from Magic, and one of my first decks back was Bant Turbo Fog with
Okay.
Tulane, and it was not good.
Oh, my deck was horrible. I mean, again, if the folks out there want to see it, it is still on my mocks field. I've left it up there because it's kind of a, I'm proud of the fact I built it, but when I was searching for mono white, I found the commander that was cool, but the problem is the deck just kind of stalled out after I did the thing, And then I just couldn't win the game with a bunch of creatures that exile thing, kind of O-rings on sticks, right?
Oh, sure,
So
yeah.
what are you gonna do?
Do you want to attack for one or two at a time over and over and over?
Yeah, it's like that. I mean, I had Elesh Norn in there, but it's like this is one of the only things I have in here that'll really turn the tide in my favor. So it was not the best deck, and I eventually tore it apart because it was super boring to play. So, which is unfortunate, but it helped me find a better mono white deck for me anyway. So I think it was all part of that progression. It's also the reason why I think I have 30 snow covered plains still sitting in my long box. That I still need to. Eventually, I'm gonna build another mono white deck, and I'll run all the snow lands. And again, I'm only doing that because On Thin Ice exists. That is literally the only reason I'm playing snow basics.
Fair. That's a good card, though.
Yeah, it's an amazing card. It's kind of funny that I'm running all of these snow basics just for one snow related card, but here we are.
But I mean, if there's nothing that wants non-snow, then it might as well.
Sure. Yeah, so anyway, we're going to get to the last question here before we can adjourn for the day, and that is going to be, is there a deck you have either recently built or are currently building? You just really want to shout out for all the listeners out there.
I mean, I love dragons. I have five color dragons. That's Scion of the Ur Dragon Reanimator. If not that one, then probably Jettmir. I haven't fixed it yet. there's too much basic land search and not enough basic lands. So I need to take out some of the token producing lands, but it's just it plays so good. I call it automated army. And it's just a bunch of enchantments that make tokens every turn, and it's so resilient against board wipes that it's just really fun to play. Like, I haven't figured out what I want to do with my turns yet, because I don't need to spend mana on making more guys, because they're just doing it.
Okay, so yes, so just kind of like living the token dream, right? You're just doing the thing that all token players love doing, and that's value. Generic value.
I love to go wide, yeah. It's just not great for webcam magic, but it's very fun.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's kind of the trade-off we have to make. I'm another token player. I love just building tokens. If people just look through my Moxfield or they've listened to the show, they know I talk about a million different token decks. I mean, I go on my Moxfield, it's like token deck, token deck, token deck, token deck, different color token deck. So I totally get that. Yeah, tokens are fun, but yeah, you're right. They are so difficult to play on webcam or even in person too. It's, you know, you got to make sure you have your Infinite Tokens, which not sponsored, are an amazing product. I highly endorse them. I actually did get to meet Megan from Infinite Tokens at Kingdoms, the Magic Kingdom Summit back in Salt Lake City in November. Great person. Have not gotten a game in with her in a long time, but yeah, great product. I cannot say enough about Infinite Tokens. So yeah, again, this is your not sponsored segment of the show where I just gush about amazing products.
An honest recommendation.
Yeah, that is totally fair. I mean, it gets the MTG in Quarantine podcast stamp of approval, right? If I had one of like those old monarchial seals or something, which, you know, not saying I would ever be that, but it's like I want my seal of approval. I'm gonna put this on every envelope I send out in my correspondence. I just put the Infinite Token stamp on there, right? You know, sealing with the hot wax, right?
Yep.
And just like that chef's kiss look of that seal on there is like still slightly smoking, but yeah, great stuff.
And total other tangent, I saw somebody on Twitter the other day, I wish I remembered who, looking at buying like one of those, like a rubber stamp, but it was the Phyrexian symbol.
Oh,
like,
oh yes, such a good idea. Yes. I think I saw that too. That was, Yawgoth.
Yeah.
Trying to remember his actual name off the top of my head. it'll come to me. But yeah, that's actually really cool. It's seeing other folks out there really start trying to make their own brand, find what works for them. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't really have something like that personally, you know, for like a little marketing stunt like that, I suppose, or, you know, kind of an angle. I guess I do have the cosplay though. So that's one thing. I guess that's my calling card. Cool. Yeah. So you see, this is good because it's helping me figure out my own branding. So this is an excellent conversation.
My brand.
Oh, it's all about the brand. I mean, we as content creators have to respect the grind, right? We have to find that exact little niche that we have to find, that we have to try to work in. So that's my niche. Having a seal with Phyrexian symbols is a niche. So many different things out there. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I want to thank you so much, Allie, for taking the time to talk with me today. It's been awesome having you. And then, you know, it was awesome just giving Infinite Tokens a cool shout out. So, I mean, I feel like that's just kind of the perfect tangent to have on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Very fun time. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Real quick, if people want to check your stuff out on the socials, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter at Allie Golem, AlLieGolem. Instagram at Allie Makes Games. Twitch at Allie Golem. Trying to think of what else I have.
And you say you're not a content creator yet. You're on Twitch. Shame.
I'm really bad about streaming, but I want to.
Hey, the fact that you're doing that, I've never actually streamed, you know, my own stuff. So the fact you're doing that means you're already ahead of me on that one, which I don't know if that counts for a lot, but it counts for something.
Fair. It's definitely fun, but it's always more work and more tiring than I think it's going to be.
Yeah, that's a big part of the reason why I don't stream. But yeah, it's challenging. Content creation is a grind. It's, trying to get up every day and wanting to make some content is not always the easiest thing, but we do it anyway. So, yeah. Anyway, it was awesome having you. Thank you so much for taking the time to guest today.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no
It's a good
problem.
time.
All right, and if you're interested in hearing any of the other Noah Brewer's episodes in this series, or just any of the episodes of the MTG Quarantine Podcast in general, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets as your Googles, Apples, Spotify, Player FM, Rocket Cast, Podcast, Overcast, Breaker, something else. I never remember all of them. There's like a million of them out there, but if it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find my content on there. You can also find me on the Bird Site Twitter at MTG in Quarantine. I'd like to utilize this opportunity again to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.